God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We, Hamites, we are the only ones who allow our destiny in all the world, down through history, to be crafted by others. We're the only ones who believe the stereotype. Watch. We are the only ones, and I mean no disrespect, this is just an observation from studying the Word of God and history. We are the only ones who pattern our lives after what other people say they should be to make them accept us. Watch. We do not like our fat lips and our wide noses. So we pay to undergo surgery to get rid of our fat lips and our wide noses. And other groups pay to get the lips that God gave you. They get collagen injections to get back. You pay to lose yours. God gave you hair that's nappy. You pay to get it straightened. And other people long to be curly. Nobody's happy. We pay to lose our darkness. And don't even look at the scientific value of your pigmentation. You do not have a high risk for skin cancer. We can stand out in the sun and just stand there and not get skin cancer because of God's gift of your pigmentation. And we bleach ourselves and operate on ourselves because we want to be accepted, because we don't like what God made us. Do you know you bring that same thing into your relationship with God? You try to be what every other Christian says you should be. If one pastor says you should name it and claim it, you name it and claim it. If another says that you should lay on the altar and bring money and bills and put them on the altar, you'll bring money and bills and put them on the altar. Whatever preacher is in front of you, you do what they tell you because you have not yet established a relationship with God for yourself. We're not living by faith. We're living by mimicry. We just do what everybody else says. We try to run our houses on what everybody else says. Whatever works for them doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. God says you've been here long enough. You've been in this position of financial bondage long enough. And week after week, we come to church and we try to shout down the burdens and the problems that have brought us to this place. And so we Pentecostals have created something that will help us to avoid the disciplines and the obedience that God says we should have. We've created this doctrine that God is going to just pour out these blessings upon us, so we walk around without responsibility and we want God to augment our fiscal irresponsibility. So we sit and we listen to certain preachers who talk to us about financial blessing, and look at their audience. Their audience, in most cases, has been taught the proper principles that they can employ to walk in that blessing. We were not taught those principles. We were taught the principles of get it and spend it. You drive through a Hamite neighborhood after income tax season. As sure as the sun's coming up over the Sea of Japan, you're going to see 57-inch televisions. You're going to see boxes outside for all manner. What you will not see are envelopes from investment firms for 401ks. Two-thirds of you have no retirement plan because you believe God is going to see you through when you retire. You've been here long enough. Tell your neighbor, you've been here long enough. You've been broke long enough. Tell them. Now, this is the difficult part. You've been broke long enough, but here's what's happening. Many of you have already begun thinking, praise God, we're just going to have a miracle service where, praise God, God's just going to rain it down. No, what the Bible doesn't say, my people are destroyed for lack of money. It says they're destroyed because they don't know what to do with what I give them. They don't know the law of reciprocity or the law of multiplication or the law that puts you in a position to lend and not to have to borrow. And so you become angry when other groups come and buy all the Dunkin' Donuts. And yet you go every day. You're angry when other groups come and buy all the hair product stores and the nail salons. And you go every day. And you say, God, I wish I had one. And God is sitting up there saying, why are you wishing? Let's look at this. You've been here long enough. You've been here long enough. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord said, you've walked around this mountain long enough. Notice, in Deuteronomy 1, he says, you've been here. You dwelt here long enough. But now, in chapter 2, he says, you walked around this mountain long enough. You've been walking around in the same circle long enough. Make a little bit of money, spend a lot of money, pray and ask somebody to help you, come to the church and get benevolence, go back and spend the money, get back into debt. You've come past this thing long enough. It's not working. And people who continue to do the same thing and expect a difference, no, that's not insanity. That's delusional thinking. If I have a 16-ounce bottle of water and I have an 8-ounce cup and I keep pouring that water, trying to get all 16 ounces in that 8-ounce cup, I'm going to have a mess. In order to hold the 16 ounces of water, I got to get a 16-ounce cup. My mother used to replant potted plants in bigger pots, and I would say to her, why are you doing that? She said it became pot-bound. I said, what did that mean? That meant that when I planted it in the small pot, the roots were for that small pot. But then when I kept watering it and talking to it, it believed what I said, and it responded by growing bigger roots. And if I leave it in that small pot, it won't reach its fullest potential, so I've got to repot it. And God is saying, Eric, repot my people. They are trying to be prosperous in a small pot. It's called small thinking. It's called reactionary thinking. It's God, I'm going to get in the situation and ask you to help me get out of it, instead of God, make a new way and form it before I get there, so that when I get there, I walk into your blessing and your prosperity, which is the blessing of knowledge and understanding. Watch. How many of you want to be married? Okay, very few hands. Good. God bless you. All right, listen to me carefully. Of those of you that want to be married, raise your hand again. You want to be married someday. Okay. Now, those of you who want to be married, how many of you are taking courses on how to be a good husband or a good wife? Who? Look at that. Not one hand. Now, why don't you go to be taught? Because you think you know. How many women take a class on how to treat a man? How many men take a class on how to treat a woman? You just think you're going to slide into marriage and know what to do. That's just like being a parent. The moment you become a parent, the moment that child is born, the books go out the window. I sat through Lamar's class with Sister Lambert every week for 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Sat through Lamar's class, learning how to learned all that stuff. Sat there, she laying on the floor on a pillow, and I'm just standing behind her. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Come on. And she was, man, I felt like I was doing something. I said, come on, nice cleansing breath. When Shanina was coming, we went to the hospital. I pulled up the chair, got my stopwatch. I said, come on. She said, you blow. Go get that doctor. Because when we were in the class, it was, oh, my God, we're going to do this natural. Yeah, no drugs. Shucks. She said, you go get that doctor now. I want an epidural. I said, but you won't feel the pleasure. She reached up and grabbed my hand. Her nails began to go in my hand. She said, you did this to me. See, all your book learning goes out the window when the trouble starts. All the naming and claiming goes out the window when the bills come, when the shutoff notices come, when everything that challenges your faith begins to materialize. You've got to know that the God that was with me when I had everything is the same God that's with me when I don't have a dime. He will never leave me. I am convinced that God wants me to have a good life, and he wants it for you. Woo!
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1218A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. We want to invite you to come share with us in the blessing of Good Friday service and, of course, Resurrection Day. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time when we commemorate the death of Jesus and his powerful resurrection. We know that without his death, we would not be able to walk in the liberty and the peace of God. And we know without his resurrection, we would not be able to have access to the throne of God, having an intercessor to pray for us and a powerful Savior to walk beside us. You see, here at Bethel, we have services that are designed to lift the name of Jesus. On Good Friday, we will gather to commemorate what Jesus did on the cross in shedding his precious blood to wash away our sins. On Resurrection Sunday, we gather together at 6 in the morning and then again at 10 a.m. so that we may sing songs of worship and praise and thank our mighty God for raising Jesus from the dead. The Bible said, if the powers of darkness had known that Jesus would rise from the dead, they would have never crucified him. I'm glad that God can keep a secret. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he got up with all power in his hand, went and took the keys from the devil. So we are going to celebrate. For us, it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Day. So we invite you to join us. The information will be on the screen, and I look forward to sharing not only Good Friday, but also the power of Resurrection Day. God bless you, and we'll see you in church.
Plan now to join us for Good Friday service, Friday, March 30th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and for Resurrection Day services, Sunday, April 1st at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. So come join us as we celebrate our risen Lord.